Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, April 18th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In 4:30, we're going to wrap up the week with the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Stephanie Hartman is going to be joining us. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have with us in on the phone lines, Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing great, James. Yourself?
Doing good. Thanks for asking. And good to hear. Know how busy you have been. It has been go time for you and your teammates over there. You guys have been hard at work. A lot of things going on. We're going to try to cover as much of this as we can. I wanted to start, if you don't mind, with the potato bill. And I don't know how often I'll be saying the potato bill or bill like that. But the name stands out and the purpose of it certainly does.
Yeah, so this goes back to my very first session. In fact, this was one of the first bills I had introduced, and now we're back again to modify that bill. So since 1913, Wisconsin has had a seed certification program here in the state, and potatoes are a highly valuable crop here in the state of Wisconsin, valued at over $300 million per year. And we are the third largest producing potato crop in the entire country, just behind Idaho and Washington. And it's important that we have certified seed to help make sure that we have the best crop that we possibly can, that limits the risk of things like potato blight and other types of diseases that the potato is very susceptible to. And what happened was, up in northern Wisconsin, where a lot of our certified seeds are grown, there were a couple of bad actors who had planted crops, and basically the Department of Agriculture came in and said, those aren't certified seed, you have to destroy that crop. But these individuals, they took a look at the penalties, which currently they are maxed at $150 and then $150 per acre of non-certified planted potatoes. And basically they just looked at the department and said, well, pound sand, we'll just pay the fine, which really puts the entire crop at risk. And so we were approached by the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association shortly after this incident occurred, along with the Department of Agriculture, and they said, you know what, we need more teeth to enforce this law. And so I authored legislation with Representative Krug, and I'm hopeful that next week it's going to pass out of both houses, and we'll just have another tool that our department can use to ensure that our crop remains safe, and we're doing what we can to punish any bad actors that occurred up in northern Wisconsin.
When it comes to that, certainly appreciate the attention to this and the work on it. Another part of this bill that I don't know that necessarily it was the point of it, certainly, but another advantage of it or a side effect of it is, I think, bringing attention to where you started with this and reminding people of how important potatoes are in this state. Idaho takes so much of the attention of this one, but they're big in this state as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's why you've got so many of our potato growers. Frito-Lay's is a huge component of this. I mean, many of our big growers, Heartland Farms in particular, they contract with Lay's for, making sure they have stable and a valuable crop for things like potato chips. And then obviously all the other markets that our growers go into, whether it's directly to the store. This is a huge business here in the state of Wisconsin, and especially right here in the Central Sands area, which is the key area for potato growers in the state. And so making sure that this crop remains valuable and making sure that we are doing what we can to protect it is critically important for our food security and our supply chain here in the state, because the ancillary industries that go around this also have a huge impact. When you're talking about processors like McCain's, Del Monte, all the egg implement dealers around here. So, I mean, this is a big deal. And so what's great is that it passed out of my committee, the Senate Ag and Revenue Committee, with unanimous support. And same with over in the Assembly. So I think we're really well positioned to have a good bipartisan bill that once it hits the governor's desk, he'll sign it into law.
And I like most people out there and yourself, certainly paying attention to local and in Wisconsin and national politics. And I think, especially with the focus being on Wisconsin here, I skate past this way too often. You mentioned this bill being bipartisan, and I two notes on that. One, that we say that so often around here on this show that we've kind of normalized it a little bit, which is great. It's a good thing, but I do want to highlight it because it's so valuable at any point in history, let alone now in this day and age. But also the fact that it's become that common here in Wisconsin, that we are not that it's not that uncommon to hear bipartisan bills. I just always want to note that, or want to get better about noting that when we can. For myself, you do a good job of it, sir, but I want to note it.
Well, in prime example, like last night I was down in Milwaukee to be on a panel with one of my Democrat colleagues from Milwaukee, Senator Dora Drake, who is just phenomenal to work with. And it was a panel discussion about cryptocurrency, and she's working on legislation that is going to be pretty innovative and will help sort of foster this environment for more crypto growth and opportunities on that front. And I'm working on legislation that kind of focuses on the consumer protection side of things. And again, very similar to, you know, trying to weed out bad actors. I know we've had a number of incidents where individuals have been defrauded through these crypto kiosks that are popping up. And I know Sheriff Becker and Sheriff Lucas, they really were the ones that put this on my radar. And so, you know, it just goes to show that, yes, we will have our disagreements at times, but by and large, at least in Madison, we have a much different atmosphere compared to the climate out in Washington, D.C., where, you know, we're willing to roll up our sleeves and put our heads together and put forward good ideas that, regardless of what party came up with it, you know, if it's good for the state, you know what, let's get the job done and work together. But, you know, understanding, too, that there are going to be times where that's not necessarily going to be the case, and we'll just have to cordially agree to disagree and hash out our differences and arguments both in committee as well as on the floor. And I think that's a healthy and robust debate that I think our counterparts out in Washington, D.C. could take note from.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that Representative Krug and I have touched on a number of times, and recently especially, the idea of this going forward and how important that is and how valuable we feel it we take it here in this state. And also keeping in mind, while there are some things that certainly do affect us on a national level, every state, not just us, but every state also is doing their own thing. And it's important to kind of not just read headlines, but read articles, get good reporting and everything when it comes to this stuff, because sometimes that headline may be misleading or make you think that it's happening in your state when it isn't. So it's important to talk to your representatives and to good trust reputable sources. We appreciate you doing that. Now, we're talking about bipartisanism, so I want to take the lead in. I did want to touch on one other thing. Again, with so many bills passed and so many things, and you would think in a 24/7 news cycle this wouldn't happen, but there's a lot of bills and a lot of things that I think get lost in the shuffle. And you were the lead co-author of a bipartisan legislation that will improve the quality of life for those suffering with Alzheimer's disease and lower their health care costs. I will admit to the audience, this one has affected my family quite a bit. I lost my Nana to Alzheimer's, and I just, like 2 weeks ago, lost my great aunt Nay to Alzheimer's after fighting it for a very long time. And I don't think I'm alone on that one. 6 degrees of separation, you don't even have that when it comes to Alzheimer's or dementia nowadays. It's important, and I think that's part of the reason why there was bipartisan legislation on this one. Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, this is another great example of, you know, both sides coming together to do what's best for families that are going through really difficult times. And Alzheimer's is one of these diseases that, you know, it's absolutely heartbreaking. Because you're watching individuals that you love wither away who don't remember who they are, and it's very difficult. It's an emotional strain both on the individuals who are personally going through it, but as well as the family members. And so recently, legislation was introduced that I'm proud to be a co-sponsor of that would provide assistance for caregivers who are helping individuals who are going through dementia as well as Alzheimer's. And because there is a huge strain, both emotionally as well as financially. And this is one of these, you know, not a huge bill as far as a fiscal component to it, but it's a step in the right direction. And doing what we can to acknowledge those who are taking time often away from work, away from their own families to take care of loved ones who are on a cognitive decline, which is, again, it's truly heartbreaking to watch and go through that. But if we can get this done, I think it sends a really strong message that, look, We want to help and assist those who are taking care of those who are the most vulnerable among us and who are going through just something that we hope never happens to anyone in our families. But as you referenced with your own personal story, I think we all know someone both directly and indirectly who has been impacted by this terrible and awful disease. And we just want to put ourselves in a position to help those who are helping those folks out. And I'm hopeful this is another one that when it gets through committee, should sail through both houses. And again, hoping to get the governor's signature when the time comes, that when it hits his desk.
We're speaking with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about On the Job series in a moment, but you've been on the road. The Joint Finance Committee has got a road show going on right now. Can we tell our audience about that?
Yeah, so the Joint Finance Committee, which I'm a member of this session, I have the privilege to serve as the co-vice chair. And so we're typically every 2 years, we go around the state. And so far we've gone to Kaukauna as well as West Allis. Those were wildly successful, although I will say they are marathon days because usually get a few hundred people. I think in West Allis, we had just shy of about 350 people that showed up. And we sit there and listen to individuals give their input on the state budget. So basically people have 2 minutes to come up, say their piece, what they like, what they don't like, what they would like us to focus and prioritize on. And we still have two more to go. Monday, April 28th, we are going to be up in Hayward at the Hayward High School from 10 a.m. until about 6 p.m. And then the next day, we're going to be a little bit closer to home. We're going to be up in Wausau at the Technical College from 10 until 6. And so this is really a tremendous opportunity for folks to come and address the entire Joint Finance Committee, as well as area legislators who would like to attend and participate as well. And so if people are able to make it, one thing I would suggest, get there early because, you know, oftentimes people start showing up at 7 a.m. and they might not get their slip pulled until 3 p.m. or 4 p.m. to come up and testify before the Finance Committee. And if you can't make it to either of these last two, feel free to reach out to my office to submit your testimony. We can incorporate that into the record. And I know myself, as well as many other area legislators, have listening sessions within their respective districts. And so really, this is the prime time to be in contact with lawmakers as it relates to the state budget process, because now that once we wrap that up, it's really going to be crunch time, because our fiscal year ends June 30th. Statutorily, we have to have a budget done. Although the good news is, unlike our counterparts out at the federal level, if we don't have a budget signed, sealed, and delivered by June 30th, our government doesn't shut down. We just continue to operate under the current state budget that we operate under right now. Yeah. But we want to make sure that we are taking input and feedback from folks, because that gives us a good idea of, you know, sort of what's on people's minds and what's, you know, the top priorities of what we need to fund. And so really encourage folks to, if you're able to take the time, make the trip up to Hayward or Wausau. And again, if you can't make it, reach out to my office and we'll be happy to take your suggestions and pass that on to our colleagues on the Finance Committee.
Encourage people to attend these if you can. Bring your questions. It's amazing, and we need more of this, of our representatives doing these kind of town hall listening sessions and going about and to reaching not just meeting people halfway, but going to their area, to their zip code, to hear from you. Encourage people to be adults when talking to other adults, keep yourself in check, of course, and bring those questions, because they want them. They're looking for them. I'm curious, sir, in the time that you've done this, are there any questions that have you've been asked more than once? Are there current common themes that you're hearing from people or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. So when I'm at these sessions, I normally have a legal pad in front of me, and I literally keep a tally marker going of all the different issue areas of what people are talking about. And there are some common themes that have popped up at the two that we've done already in Kaukauna, as well as West Allis. And I think number one is obviously K-12 education. That is the largest portion of our state budget that we fund every 2 years. And then also, projects within the UW system, You know, we've heard from a number of the campuses throughout the state on various building projects that they want to see enumerated. Hear a lot about infrastructure, making sure that our roads primarily, we heard this a lot in Kaukauna, how valuable the Agricultural Road Improvement Program has been. This was a new program that was created in the last budget to help our farm to market roads with some grants to local communities to beef up their infrastructure where, you know, the roads are taking a heavy toll due to the heavy ag usage. And then we also, we've heard, you know, very specific regional issues. Like, for instance, when we were in Kaukauna, we had a number of individuals from the village of Manawa who came and testified before the committee. They had a dam burst last summer, and it's a $13 million replacement. And if you can probably imagine, a small village like Manawa does not have $13 million sitting in the bank, so they're looking for some state support. So what's unique about this is, yes, you get to hear a lot of common denominators all across the state on various issues, but then periodically you'll get these very hyper-local issues and projects that pop up that may not have been on anyone's radar before. And so it's always interesting, and it's like I said, it makes for a long day. You got to have plenty of coffee and gas in the tank to sit through it all, but this is part of the process, and we want to encourage as much public feedback as possible.
Encourage people to sign up for the newsletter the senator has. It's a great way to keep up to date on the things we've been talking about, all along with finding the dates for those roadshow events. I wanted to wrap up with you, sir, in two spots. One, just a shout out to you about the reading to the Noble Community Clinic in Stevens Point, reading books to the young kids there as part of the Reach Out and Read program. Looked like you had a lot of fun. And a shout out to the Reach Out and Read program. We're a big fan of what the work they do over there. And you were, did you want to touch on that at all? I don't want to skate past that.
Yeah, no, this is a great program. This is actually really what I would consider a foundational piece for the development of our children, you know, primarily birth to three, where the Reach Out and Read program works with various physicians and clinics around the state to get hands in the books of kids and encourage parents to read to their young children, because really those first 3 years are the most formative as it relates to a child's brain development. And anything that we can do to get more books in hands and encourage kids to read early on is a valuable tool that's going to set them up for future success. And, you know, I've been working and sitting down to Reach Out and Read and their program coordinators to see what can be done to expand this program here in the state, get more clinics and physicians to sign up with this program. And so, yeah, I got the chance to read to some young kiddos in the area and then take a tour of Noble's clinic, which their existing clinic has a small footprint, but by mid-July, they're going to have a brand new facility just up the road in downtown Stevens Point that I can't wait to see, because these community clinics are a valuable tool, especially for those individuals who might not have the means to be on private insurance. And these clinics, like Noble, they help fill that gap.
And keep in mind, our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties also has their great book giveaway going on right now, where they're collecting gently used books and reading mentorship that's coming up this summer. All kinds of great things that a lot of our great nonprofits are doing to help our kids with literacy in this area. I encourage everybody to read up more about those. And as we're wrapping up, sir, I wanted to talk with you about your On the Job series. You were recently at Wabash in New Lisbon.
Yeah, Wabash and great company. This was actually a doubleheader. So last month I was in New Lisbon. I worked at Lear Manufacturing. And then just on Monday was in New Lisbon for Wabash. And this is, again, just like Lear was, another leading manufacturer right here in our area in Juneau County. And what's so unique about them, they are a innovator and a national leader in manufacturing for semi-trailers. And in particular, our liquid semi-containers. And so, you know, again, one of the reasons why I do this is to highlight the great employers, but show what opportunities are out there. And prime example here is, you know, they actually do a great job with training employees. They created a training center, and literally anyone can walk off the street and they will train you to be a welder, a grinder. And regardless of your experience, they will pay while you're being trained and build up your skill level. I will say this, I am not a good welder. I was much more proficient at at grinding. They had me inside a couple of the tanks grinding down the wells that need to be food grade. So, I mean, it's a very technical job. Everything is built by hand there, which is absolutely incredible when you think about it. You're seeing these 80-foot trailers, and every component of that is done by hand. I mean, it's just absolutely impressive. They've seen tremendous growth, and they've got about 80% of the market share. So if you're going down the highway and you see a liquid container or semi-trailer, chances are it was made right here in central Wisconsin.
It's a great opportunity to bring attention to something we don't, an industry we don't get to very often. And some really good workers. I've had some friends in that industry before. Appreciate that. And glad you had a good time with it. And looking forward to more of these On the Job series. And certainly looking forward to talking with you again next month. We'll have plenty to talk about, I'm sure. Before we let you go, though, sir, I want to again remind everybody to sign up for the newsletter. And, of course, reach out to Senator Tessin if you have questions. How can they do that, sir?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of my office, my office number is 608-266-3123. You can always shoot us an email at sen.mylastnametestin@legis.wi.gov. Follow us on social media, sign up for my newsletter, and if you ever need to get in touch or meet with me in person, as always, I'm an old school, like an old school doctor, I'm not afraid to make a house call. So get in touch. This is a busy season for us down in Madison, but always willing to sit down and meet with constituents and hear what's on your mind. And if you got issues or concerns, never hesitate to give me a call.
Always appreciate the time and conversation, sir. We'll talk again next month. You take care.
You too, James.
And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.